everyone. What a wonderful time of worship this morning. Thank you for lifting up Christ in your own heart and in this place today. This is a great season of life for all of us. And I pray that regardless of your season in life, be you younger or older, that you will find in the Lord life and life abundant every day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm happy to announce that today is Deb and my 52nd wedding anniversary, 52 years. So we are celebrating, and we are thankful for the faithfulness of God in our lives, the goodness of God. We're blessed with three great children and their spouses, and now eight grandchildren. And then the joy of serving Christ and being your pastor and wife and walking with you is the joy of our hearts. And to stand in this place each week is such an amazing privilege. This is the Essential Gospel series, and we're rounding third, and we're coming home. I don't know how long we've actually been in this series. It's been a while. It could be a while longer, actually. In some ways, I feel like we've just touched the surface of the greatness of the book of Romans. The book of Romans is what Paul would describe as my gospel in the 16th chapter. My gospel, it is the gospel according to Paul. It is the magnum opus. And really, the closest thing to a systematic theology in the New Testament. And we've learned so much, and in learning, we are living this truth. It is the essential gospel. And so take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans, chapter 16. And the title today is quite bombastic: Crushing Satan. Who wants to crush Satan? Are you in? I do. And God has given us a prophecy and a promise that one day Satan will be totally and completely crushed, destroyed, broken, devoured. Crushing Satan. Paul is saying goodbye. And as noted in the last several weeks, he spoke of the believers in the church, precious to him, precious to all who knew them, individuals, Team Jesus. And there's a whole lot of love, hugs, and kisses. He even says, greet one another with a holy kiss. But love not only greets, but it protects. And Paul, in these last verses of Romans, before he says one final goodbye, wants to show his love by protecting and making sure that the church is united in faith, guarded against those who would destroy it, and protected in the love of Christ. And so he gives a strong and urgent warning. He uses words that are descriptive of imploring someone, begging someone, pleading with someone. And these words begin in verse 17. So look at it with me. Verse 17, Romans 16. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good, and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray now that you would open our hearts to your word and your truth, and your truth to our hearts. May your Holy Spirit teach us. Lord, help me to say what needs to be said today directly from your truth and your word. And may your church and your people receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Love does not hesitate to confront evil and to protect those you love against it. Love does not hesitate to call out evil as well as confronting it. And the danger and the deception of false teachers is the subject of this passage. When you love someone, you do everything possible to guard them, to protect them, like a parent with a child. I looked at our graduate at Prestonwood Christian Academy this past Friday evening, along with our other graduates in the ministry of students here, but just looking at our PCA graduates and speaking to them briefly on Friday evening, I had it in my heart that somehow they would be protected and prepared for the onslaught of the enemy that they will face as they advance and graduate their lives. It's our goal always to prepare our young people and all the children of God to be warned and to be wise in the midst of an evil generation. Medicines and machinery have warning labels on them. And so this message is a warning label. It is a serious and sobering message, not necessarily a feel-good message, but it is such a needed message today for the church in the 21st century. Because first and foremost, I want to speak to you about the dangers of false teachers and those who would ruin your souls and wreck your lives and families. The church is under attack, and the battle is most often not from without. The enemies that come from without, but from within. Insiders who would disrupt and divide and destroy the work of Christ. This is the reason that Paul takes time before he says goodbye to warn all of us from generation to generation, because this is a battle we all fight until the Lord comes again. He says, mark these and avoid these false teachers. This is so very important that Jesus addressed it in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. We want to put it on the screen for you right now. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. And are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So Jesus himself began this warning process that Paul picked up along with virtually every apostle in the New Testament, from Peter to John to Paul, and of course, straight from the lips of Jesus. 1 John chapter 4 tells us that we are to test every spirit, because not every spirit, even supernatural spirits, come from God. The Bible tells us that we're not to be seduced by spirits or by demon spirits. Doctrines of demons. So be warned. Now, our current version of deception and dangerous divide in the church is what you could call progressive Christianity, progressivism. Through the years, The enemies that have divided the church have divided either over legalism on one side or liberalism on the other. And the latest version of liberalism is progressivism. And so I speak of this with the deception of false teachers. We've talked about just a little bit the danger of this, but let's talk about the deception of this. Because the goal of false teachers in our generation, remember, within the church, not outside the church, but it is the goal of these progressives to redefine Christianity. Redefine it and redirect it. And it is a cancer in the church. Because progressives want to align not with the Word of God, but with the culture. And they are driven to deliver a new message that is more sophisticated, a new kind of Christianity. This is why Jude tells us in verse 4 that we must always earnestly contend for the faith. That we must fight for the faith earnestly, fervently, devotedly. How do we detect these false teachers within the church today? Progressives deny the authority and the sufficiency of the Bible, the Word of God. That's where it all starts. In fact, Satan's lies are never new. It all began when the serpent slithered in, the shining one, into the Garden of Eden and put a question mark on the Word of God when Eve was tempted. And it first rebutted the temptations of the enemy. The devil said, "Has God said?" That is always the lie. To deny, diminish, dilute the Word of God, to question the authority of the Scripture. The battle for the Bible rages in every generation. This book that we believe is the inerrant, infallible, authoritative, accurate Word of God is always, in every generation, under attack. And the progressives put that question mark right where the devil puts it on the Word of God, to twist and distort the truth of God's Word. You can name the issue, whatever the issue. Issues like sexuality, focusing on the latest satanic moral compromise, such as gender identity. They deny the biblical distinction of male and female. They embrace these progressives. Remember, within the church, not without. We're talking about the church, not the culture. But they embrace same-sex marriage. They are pro-choice. A most recent example, and I'm willing to call names, is a woman by the name of Jen Hatemaker, who describes herself as a Christian teacher, but she is a progressive who has openly now proclaimed her, along with many other Christians like her in the progressive Christian movement, proclaimed herself pro-choice, affirming not only that, but same-sex marriage. And she, like so many other liberals, side with those who kill babies and want to make the case for taking the lives of the unborn. This is progressive Christianity. The progressive also focus on social justice rather than biblical justice. We believe in God's justice. But in the search for social justice, the progressive neglect the justice of Almighty God, who is holy and righteous and requires salvation in Christ and Christ alone. That salvation is not in education, it is not in social improvement, but it is rather in Christ and Christ alone. The danger is that progressive Christianity, do I have your attention? Is a one-way ticket to hell. This is the danger of this deception. And I say this in the midst of the battle with a burden for those who are on the other side. Because to reject Jesus, to turn from the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus, is to condemn yourself to eternal judgment and hell. I think and I weep over all the persons and great people, so many, who are in liberal progressive churches. Never hear the Word of God authoritative, persuasive, and powerful. 37%, only 37% of pastors in America have a biblical worldview in 2022. Think about that. The number among youth pastors in America, unfortunately, is even worse. Only a few percentage points comparative to the rest. And I think of the damage that is being done and the destruction to our young people, to our boys and girls, to the people of God. What did Jesus say about this in Luke chapter 17 and verse 2? He said, it would be better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and cast into the sea than to cause one of these little ones to sin. To follow secularist and progressive and unbelieving false teachers is to destroy your own soul and that of your children and their children. This is why I would ask in this generation, why would you subject your children to secularists, to a secular university or a secular church whose goal it is to either redefine your child's faith or destroy it altogether? Why would you do that? This battle is a tough one because we see the Bible and God's Word undermined in seminaries, in Christian universities, in pulpits, and yes, in churches. It's a warning. Progressive Christianity is propagated, of course, by a godless liberal media and leftist politicians. This is the reason that the Bible contains so many warnings about this, that we should wise up. This is why he says, I appeal to you, brothers, that those who divide contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught, the faith once delivered, he says, do two things in verse 17. Watch out for them. The word is a word which means to scope. You hear the word telescope in the word that is used right here, a microscope, to see it. He said, get your eyes on this. Scope them out. Detect them. And then what did he say? Avoid them. Walk away. Get out of there. The reason the Bible includes so many warnings is because the human heart, the soul, is so precious to God. Here's another warning, Galatians 1:6-9. Let's put that on the screen. Galatians 1:6-9. This is Paul once again. He said, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, another gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. That's what Paul is saying. Now, I can already hear someone thinking, well, that's so full of hate. There's no love in that. That's what's wrong with you Bible-believing Christians. You're just so belligerent and bullish and hypocritical and all the rest. You're angry and judgmental. No. Love protects. Love cares. And Paul, along with the apostles, say it again and again and again and again. And these passages are often neglected in the preaching of God's word because it seems so hard. It seems so harsh. But souls are at stake. Families are at stake. Another gospel. Preach it at your own peril. Because with it comes the curse of God. Progressive Christianity sounds so innocent and so sophisticated, so current, so with it. And Christians often get up, caught up in the current and the drift of this. It's like being in the ocean, playing in the shallow waters, and then you look up and you have drifted, and maybe even a riptide taking you out to sea. We're warned in the scriptures not to drift away from the faith and unbelief. So many churches and Christians led by these liberals and progressives are just asleep. Or to use another metaphor, as Jesus used, he said, I would that you were cold or hot, but you're lukewarm. You're just tepid. You're soft. So it is dangerous and it is deceptive and it is deadly. And this is why Paul says, mark them, avoid them, separate yourself, walk away. Again, why would we put ourselves or our families in the firing line of the lies of Satan? Paul makes a very great statement here. He talks about verse 18. I don't want to miss this. He says, describing these, he says, they are persons who do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, literally their own bellies, to satisfy themselves. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. That's a good description of the word given in the New Testament. It is to be naive or it doesn't mean to be stupid. Most people aren't stupid. They're just naive. They're not paying attention. And so he says they're just swept up in this and caught up with the latest glib, personable, winsome, sweet-talking guy. He says, expect it and detect it and reject it. And he says in verse 19, for your obedience is known to all. This is a great church. It's a glorious church, the church at Rome. But Paul knew the power of the enemy and the persuasive ability of false teachers. So he's saying, even though you are obedient, you are known to all, yet be wise. And be warned. And I would say this to all of us, Prestonwood. What a great church. God has blessed us in ways that we could have never imagined. You are so obedient to the Lord, and we are obedient to the faith. But, you know, the devil probably doesn't care much about slithering into the churches that are already gone and liberal and unbelieving. Why would he even bother with these? But Satan would love to attack a Bible-believing church and divide us and destroy our faith. Not everyone who walks into the foyer with a Bible in their hand and says they're a teacher is a true teacher. So we must always be on guard. He says, I rejoice over you as I do you, Preston Wood. But he said, I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. Wise in what is good and innocent. It literally means don't even begin to think about evil. People think, I have to experience a little bit of evil in my life to know what it is. No, you don't. We ought to be innocent concerning some things. Say, well, I need to experience some things to know what is right, what is wrong, what is good, it is bad. You don't have to stick your head in a sewer to know what it is. And so he said, be innocent of some things. I wish we could keep our children more innocent of evil. The only way to do that, as I see it, is just fill them with the Word of God and prepare them to counterattack rather than to be attacked. Moral relativism without absolute truth in your faith means that anything goes. And the progressives are all about your truth and my truth and truth as you see it and truth as I see it. That there is no real absolute truth. Therefore, anything goes. It's like the book of Judges. When it was said of that generation, every man did what was right in his own eyes. But God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we reap. And what is happening in the world, what is happening in our country, with the collapse of the culture, the moral collapse of our nation, is that we are now reaping the results of our sin. You sow the wind, you get what? The whirlwind. Dear people, it's now the whirlwind. Because God is not mocked. Politically, socialists move in when secularists, liberals open the door. Did you hear what I just said? When secularists and liberals are in command and in control, socialists move in. And ultimately, all freedom of religion will be attacked because this is the goal of Marxists. This is why politics matter, at least in our country. You say, well, I don't like politics. Well, politics matter because policies matter. And policies matter because people matter. The church is now divided and there's no spiritual power. Christians know very little today of the Spirit-filled life and of personal revival. There's hardly any love in churches, even many Baptist churches. For souls, because we're so divided, we're so filled with debate and division, often not on the big things, but even some of the non-essential things, that there's no time left for evangelism. We're distracted. So what is Paul saying? He said, expect and detect and reject these liars, because one day, verse 20, and one day soon, Satan is going to be crushed, and everyone who follows him with him. Satan is the father of all lies. That's what Jesus said. He is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And it is my responsibility, as I see it, a big part of my responsibility in these days, to protect the flock of God against the works of the enemy. Paul said it in Acts chapter 20. Just go ahead and turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 20. I want to show you some verses, and then we'll close the message. But this is so very important to me, what Paul said to the Ephesian elders, leaders of the church, as he is departing after spending around 3 years with them as their pastor. He said, Acts chapter 20, verses 27 to 32, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears." That was Paul's pastoral heart. And therefore, it should be the heart of every pastor as well, to be alert, to be discerning. You know, it's the punch that you don't see coming that knocks you out. The whole idea here of deception is to be trapped in this. Don't eat the cheese of the progressives. Discernment is so desperately needed among God's people today. Wisdom. So a couple of closing words. Number one, be prepared to defend your faith. We want to do everything that we can to help you on the offensive as well as the defensive, to give a reason for the hope that is in you. As the scripture says, be prepared to defend your faith. It's the big reason that we have now appointed Dr. Jeremiah Johnston to come to be pastor of apologetics here at Prestonwood and dean of our spiritual development at Prestonwood Christian Academy, to help prepare us biblically, relationally, intellectually, to share the faith. I read a quote from Jeremiah this week. He said, "Many Christians are more capable of defending their coffee choice than their personal faith." We are called to defend our faith and give evidence for what we believe. Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe it? You got to get off the fringes and start growing in your faith and knowing. You say, "Well, I'm okay." Are your children okay? Are your children's children okay? No. If you do not train them and teach them from generation to generation, they will not be okay. Then we should not only be prepared to defend our faith, but we must refuse to shut up or stand down. We should be courageous. We will clearly and creatively share the gospel of Christ. We will align with the Bible on every issue of sexuality, on the sanctity of life, on purity, on morality. We will love and live the truth, not leaving it up to someone else's truth, but God's truth, the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Christ. There are many roads to hell, but there's one road to heaven, and his name is Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And this is the message that we will proclaim, that we will know the gospel, not another gospel, not a progressive gospel, but the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And from this pulpit and from these pews, we will declare our convictions without compromise. This is the essential gospel. We will declare the whole counsel of God and preach salvation in Christ, which is repentance and faith and obedience towards God. And so, he says, one day and one day soon, the God of peace will crush Satan. This is the one and only time in the book of Romans that Satan is mentioned, though Paul discusses the devil and his demon forces on multiple occasions in other letters. But in Romans, this is it. And after all that has been said in Romans, he's now saying this essential gospel, this is what crushes the enemy, because it is the God of peace. The God of peace is the one who ends all war, who ends the battle. The God of peace is the Prince of Peace, who is coming again, riding on a white horse. And guess what? We are with him when he comes. The saints of God are riding with him as we crush Satan under his feet. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to stay in the battle as long as the battle exists. But I look forward to the day when the battle is done, when the battle is over, and Christ is Lord of all, and the new heavens and the new earth have come, and peace comes when the victory is won. Jesus is coming again. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. One final word. This is not only a prophecy of what is soon to come. Soon, I don't know when. But we're to be prepared always. Always. It's soon, and very soon we're going to see the Lord. He says soon he will crush Satan. So that will happen. That's future tense. But it's also a promise to live in today, in that because of the cross, Satan and the works of Satan have been defeated in our lives. And therefore, the calmest, the most courageous people on earth right now should be Christians, because we know the battle is won in Christ and it will eventually be done when he comes again. So we live in shalom. We live in the peace of God, the God of peace. Romans 15:13. May the God of peace fill you with all, or the God of hope rather, fill you with all joy and peace in believing by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will overflow in hope. We live in the battle. It won't be over until we see Jesus. But we overcome him now and every day in our own lives by the word of the Lamb and the testimony of our faith, by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of our faith. Satan is under his feet. And what is under his feet is therefore under your feet. In Jesus, you have the power and you have the victory to win in life. Amen? Let's stand together. Do you know Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with him? We're going to give a public invitation as always. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the essential gospel, is the saving gospel that Christ died for you on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, that if you confess him with your mouth and believe in him in your heart, you will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. You may have been in a church for all your life, but you're not saved. You have a relationship with some church, but maybe even this church, but you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're watching online. You were drawn here. Someone invited you here, but you need Christ in your life. The number is 74788. Text in Jesus. And right here in this room, I'm going to invite you upstairs and downstairs to come forward. Our ministers are in the balcony. Our ministers are here on the lower level. And I'm going to ask you to come forward. And the act of coming forward will be you saying, I want to put my faith and trust to follow Jesus Christ. He closed this great passage. I didn't have time to get to it. I'll get it next week. But the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Grace. If you wait around till you act more saved and get it more right, you'll never be saved. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is grace. This is God's invitation. Come to Christ. Receive His grace and mercy and salvation in your life. If you want to be a part of Prestonwood, we unapologetically invite you to come and join us. Maybe you're in one of these liberal churches and you need to get out. And if it's not here, somewhere else where the Bible is taught, where Christ is exalted, where the progressive lies of the enemies are not destroying people's families and children and all the rest. I'm serious about this. You need to get yourself, that's what the scripture said, you need to get yourself, he said, avoid them, mark them, avoid them, walk away. And if Christ is leading you to Prestonwood, I want to encourage you to come and join with us and be on mission with us. I promise you this, when you're here, you're going to hear God's word. You're going to grow in your faith. You're going to be encouraged to be a witness for Christ and serve Christ and be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves, because it's God's mission for us. So Lord, bless this time of decision with your presence. May your Holy Spirit draw unto yourself those who are believing and receiving you. Add to your church. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.